The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Inside Track, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine. I am your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. I'm talking today with Brooklyn, New York's singer-songwriter Paul Livernese about his band 10 Ton Man and their new single, Crazy Theory, which is on the upcoming EP, Permission to Sin. Their music has been called a folksy, countryfied blues creation, something that rivals Tom Waits, Leonard Cohen, and Neil Young. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the music business.
Well, I've always played guitar and through the years came up through like punk and rock bands in the city, moved here in 1980, went to art school, and as a side, part of my creative outlet was always doing music. Had put that down for a while. My professional career took a front seat to all that. And then at the age of 50, my father passed away, and I realized life is short, and I should really be enjoying my passions. Mm-hmm. And started a band. I went to a open mic down in the Bowery, where one of the past guitarists from the Misfits handed me his guitar that was tuned down half a step, and all of a sudden I discovered my voice, and the voice synced up with the lower tuning, and all of that. I was like, where was my voice all those years? And then the passion and the ability and the creative juices all kind of joined in one big explosion, and I was just like headstrong to getting my music out there.
Mm-hmm. How did you go from punk and rock to the folksy blues sound, almost rockabilly sometimes that I hear in
your
music?
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, it's funny, like, I grew up listening to like Zeppelin was probably my favorite band there, which, takes from the blues, went through listening to the Clash and a lot of the bands coming from England. But my playing and what came out of me was this amalgamation of like blues and country. Mm-hmm. And I was never even a really big blues and country listener, but this is what, this was just what happened. And I went through a really big Johnny Cash phase where I just kind of rediscovered all of Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. And I probably listened to Johnny Cash for like, half a year, completely just Johnny Cash. I saw his exhibit at the TV and Radio Museum where they went through all of his span of his career on TV. And, the storytelling is really what stuck with me. Mm-hmm. So I just think sort of being refreshed by that and taking cues from, the bluesier Zeppelin tunes. And then my lyrics take from like modern day things that happened in my life. Like I started writing about, ill parents, dating younger women, technology. So it's kind of like this weird combination of like taking that blues mentality, but writing about the blues of today's situation and not falling back on, kind of like that nostalgic trains and hitchhiking, traveling across America. It's kind of really about like urban blues stories.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. The band is three-piece Paul Dugan on stand-up bass and Paul Triff on the drums. I suppose it's just a coincidence that there's three Pauls here.
Well, you know, it's kind of really big coincidence. And, you know, like I'd mentioned before, you know, a lot of this happened after my father passed away. My father's name was also Paul.
Wow.
And every time I talk about that, my hair kind of stands on end. But, you know, I knew Paul Triff from another band. I played guitar and helped singer-songwriter with her material. And then I really didn't know where to look for a bass player. And because I was out of the music scene for quite a while in New York, I went to Craigslist. And I just said, upright bass for lo-fi sound. I promise no drama. And happened to be Paul Dugan. And the funny thing about it is, like, since I've found these two Pauls, I meet, like, two Pauls a week now. I've never known another Paul besides myself.
Wow,
and now,
cool.
Like, they just keep popping up. I was just in Starbucks the other day, and someone yelled, Paul, and it wasn't me. It was for someone else's coffee. So it's like every other day I'm meeting another Paul, which is kind of like, you know, maybe it's a sign. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Alternative band name or something.
Yeah, right. We could have been called Hey Paul.
Right, right, yeah, and strictly Beatles that way.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Some of the notes that I saw about your songwriting, it was called timeless and forthright storytelling, and one of the quotes was, it's so reflective that it strikes that perfect resonance inside your soul. Talk to me a little bit about the songwriting process for you.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I started really deep diving into the songwriting, they were really personal. So I guess that's the forthcoming. And I think as people listen to the tunes, they could assimilate to the personal stories I was telling about my life. You know, and I think sort of I'm telling my story about my life at a certain point in life where you've experienced the life. You know, I'm not a young person trying to make believe I've experienced all these things. I'm not writing about my college or teen years or my 20s. I'm writing about, you know, someone who's lived half a life and experienced, you know, the trials and tribulations, the joys, you know, the disappointments, in a very real way. And I don't have to make that up because I've experienced it. So I think the reality of, you know, my life and how much I've lived and what I've experienced is what kind of resonates, you know, within the music.
Yeah, that's cool. You mentioned a few minutes ago about the being handed the guitar tuned down a step. Tell me a little bit about that epiphany for you and how that changed the direction of your music.
Well, I kind of never really felt comfortable. I always was a songwriter, and I played guitar and wrote the songs for a female fronted band in the 80s. But it never really... The concepts of the song never really materialized for me because it wasn't what I was hearing in my head. You know, everyone's going to take their direction, and I wasn't feeling like the emotion that was really in the songwriting and the sound I heard in my head. And I have a very low voice, and when once it was tuned down and I was in pitch, it was just a revelation. I was like, oh, it's like, it just kind of like hit me. I was like, and then I started singing the songs I've written in the past, and like, this is what I heard. This is what it was meant to be, and this is like, this was more, it was a more heavier, very, you know, low tone sound, and that's kind of how we got to the Ten Ton Man name. It was that, and the band was initially called Rocco's Midlife Crisis because I was going through a lot of things in life that were happening to me, but I didn't really want to be so blunt about it. So Ten Ton Man became the metaphor of that heavy time. And then the songwriting continued to be dark and forthcoming, and you know, we thought Ten Ton Man worked.
So it actually changed the flavor and tone of some of the songs that you had written originally.
Yeah, I went back and re-recorded a couple of songs from those days, which were Lifesaver from the first album, and I took some of the melodies and the chord progressions and rewrote the words that were more pertinent to what was going on in my life, because lots of times I would write the music and we collaborate on the words. So I kind of took a back step. You know, I always had words written, and I always had words written to the tunes. I was just being more of a collaborative end. And really transformed the music into what I had, you know, had the concept for since the beginning. So it was very gratifying to finally express myself in the way I felt it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. Do the other guys participate in the songwriting process, or do they have their own songs that you guys mix into the set as well?
Well, I pretty much bring to the band the lyrics and the chord progressions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, these guys are really great pros, and I bring the bones, and then they put the meat on the bones.
Okay.
You know, Paul Dugan has really a lot of experience with arranging, and Paul Tripp has a lot of experience playing in the studio and on stage, and they sort of definitely help build the sound. And, you know, we kind of come from different places, but it all comes together. Like, all of our inspirations come together in 10 Ton Man, and mm-hmm. it works really well. And, you know, like you said, some of it's like rockabilly. Some of it was described as like neo-noir cabaret or vaudevillian, but mm-hmm. like a, kind of like a more of a rock like persona to it.
Okay.
So, you know, we all bring something to it that makes it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of times I'll bring the melodies and the chord changes and the lyrics, and it'll transform into what everybody has collaborated mm-hmm. on that. But usually it starts with the melody and the lyrics that I'll bring in. I usually work on those myself and then bring it to the band.
What type of audience do you find that your music is migrating, or the audience is migrating to your music? What type of audience and venues do you find yourself in with this?
You know, it's a big mix, and you know, in New York, there's no lie about it. You know, a lot of the bands are very young.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I have plans in the audience, and they're like, and we get off like, these guys are cool. You know, the first thing just go on, like, what are these guys going to play? And like, these guys are cool. And, you know, we're kind of hard-edged on, you know, we're definitely more gritty live. You know, we have a couple backing musicians that play other instruments on the albums just to bring it, you know, give it more robust. But live, we are that gritty Americana band. And I don't know what they know. I don't think they know what to expect, because we have an upright bass, and he plays incredible upright bass, and a drummer from the Bronx with long hair, so they're expecting like rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come up on stage with a derby and a hollow body and one of the smallest amps I've ever seen on stage in New York. You know, and like, you know, what I used to say is like, you know, we'll rock the barn. So we start getting a big multi-generational audience.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoy that.
And this has been a band project for you guys. How long? How long has this been going on?
The first CD came out that's a good question. I don't even remember the dates. I think we wrote it, and it came out in 2012.
Okay.
So I guess we're going on our fourth year. And then the EP came out in 2014. We released a single between that, and then this new EP this year, 2015. So, you know, if I had my way, I'd be producing music that I'm putting new stuff out like every 6 months. It's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of schedules, and
yeah.
You know, New York's a busy town.
And I think I read where all of you guys are over 50. Is that right? So this is
This
is not a high school college type project. I mean, you guys have been doing other things for a while.
Yes, I mean, the bass player and the drummer, Paul's. I've had a musical career for all their lives. I've been a musician, you know, most of my life, but I went to art school, and I'm in the creative field as a creative director, art director, designer, in the visual communications field. But this is really what I want to be doing,
mm-hmm.
and these guys are really the backbone.
A little more kind of on the philosophical side, Americana music tends to kind of appeal to the 30 plus age market and up. Do you ever find in your audiences that you actually get people that are inspired by the fact that you guys are in your 50s and you've got a new project and you guys are out on the road and you're kind of doing this thing, you know, what's stereotypically called, you know, midlife and out? Do you find people responding to that?
They do, and you know, I actually wrote a blog for the Huffington Post about starting a man band,
mm-hmm.
and people responded to that they felt inspired, that yes, they can go do that, or I'm going to go pick up my guitar again. I started a band, I'm 60, so you know, I think there's a bunch of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think New York's a tough place to play live and having this kind of band.
Mm-hmm.
We get outside of New York and the reception is a little more heartwarming just because the places we play in are a little more youth cultured. I'm not saying that, you know, bands of old ages don't play there,
mm-hmm.
but we had a great show at the Slipper Room, which is a burlesque place,
mm-hmm.
and like bringing a little bit of a older, kind of more sophisticated audience than your regular, you know, rock club and bar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it that's where it goes over. So, you know, right now with this new EP, we're kind of looking at like locations kind of like that, like little burlesque, little vaudeville, little pub-like, loungy, kind of like putting the music in its correct atmosphere,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you might want to say. You know.
What does it look like pushing out of... You're talking about the different types of venues getting out of New York City. Where do you see the band moving? Different parts of the United States, or still kind of more on a regional type thing?
Well, right now, we're a bit regional, and once we release the album, we're going to be looking to get out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've looked at heat maps, and like you know, we do well, like you know, Texas. Like we're more of like the blues oriented music is
mm-hmm.
as apparent.
Mm-hmm.
We think we do well, like Nashville, Memphis, like those kind of places, you know, especially at those music venues there. I mean, New York, you're going to get more of that. You know, Brooklyn has taken over all of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get a lot of the Brooklyn bands, and they're all doing the shoegaze, indie thing,
yeah.
Electronic thing, which is, you know, it's great. I mean, you know, they've really put New York back in the music scene. But I think that, you know, our music... It's a little more less urban centralized. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think the subject matter, a lot of songs are life in the urban areas
mm-hmm.
and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do well outside.
Is this full time, or is that the goal for this to be full time with this project? The other guys,
It feels like full time.
Yeah.
you know, this is my full time. I'm on this full time, you know, I'm booking shows, we're mm-hmm. playing gigs, we're recording, and then, you know, I work so I could actually do this myself and have the means to do the production and pay for the studio. I think that's one advantage I do have of being older. I'm able to fulfill this and support it
mm-hmm.
and finance it and, you know, put out a good product. So, you know, would I rather just be playing music 24/7? Yes, but I wouldn't be able to put this kind of music out
sure.
if I didn't
yeah.
work. You know?
So you've gotten some pretty good response with the new single, Crazy Theory, and that's from the forthcoming EP, Permission to Sin. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, we worked, you know, the first album, we had a lot of players on there, and it was kind of a robust mix of music going on. Then the EP, we kind of stripped it down, like more acoustic
mm-hmm.
guitar, very sparse. And I wanted to get back to having more of the music there and also experiencing what the band can produce and
mm-hmm.
how we work together.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to write towards that. So on this new EP, you know, we have Hammond organ, we have harmonica,
cool.
we got tuba, trombone, and trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
We have a track that's kind of really reminiscent musically of like kind of a Doors sound.
Okay.
You know, we pulled out all the stops. I'm like, you know, I just want this to be fantastic. And my friend Eric Del Penna, who's played for Joan Osborne and Natalie Merchant, he came in and played lap steel,
cool.
fly guitar and banjo. So it's really robust on the music side.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But it still seems like this kind of like, down home, as No Depression said, you know, sweaty blues bar at 4 a.m., you know, where the stench of bourbon and brow sweat exists in the air.
Yeah.
So that's I didn't want to lose that. It still has that 10-ton man
mm-hmm.
sound.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's kind of evolved.
Yeah, okay. And what's your hope for the future? New EP on the way, and have you looked far enough or thought far enough to where you'd like to see this go?
Yeah, I mean, I really want to create more awareness for Ten Ton Man. Everybody says, you know, the songs are very cinematic. You know, mm-hmm. I would love to, you know, have this out there on a soundtrack or you know, I mean, like an indie film. Like, I'm doing this because I'm driven by the passion to do it, mm-hmm. and I'm always been a creative person, so I need creative fulfillment. Mm-hmm. But it's exceeded my expectations.
Cool.
So I'd like to see those expectations go even farther, and I do. I do want, you know, everyone who's heard it has liked it, and I do want people to be aware of Ten Ton Man, and I do want, you know, I'm the edge of the baby boomers. I want people my age to experience and have something to listen to that talks to their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I did in New York. Like, I'm still, you know, a lot of my friends are married with kids. I still go out and listen to music, and I'm listening to the music, and like, you're not talking to me. You guys sound great, but you're not talking
right,
to me.
Right.
And I think what happens is when we have a live performance and we get people in the audience, they're like, it's so emotional. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, yeah, I'm talking about real life, mm-hmm. things that happened, mm-hmm. and you're actually relating. Mm-hmm. So I really just want people to listen, be aware of Ten Ton Man, and, you know, I'm going to take this as far as I can take it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And where can folks find you? How's the best way to get in touch with you, to find your music, to reach out to you guys?
It's all on iTunes. It's all on Bandcamp. We're on Spotify. We're on all the digital streaming sites. You can reach me personally on Twitter at Ten Ton Man Music, or you could go to our website, tentonman.com, and send a note there.
Okay, great.
You can listen to all the music on tentonman.com or SoundCloud. We're also there, and you can download. There are some free tunes you can download and enjoy.
Okay, so that's great.
I try to be everywhere we should be.
Well, thanks, Paul. This has really been neat learning about your music, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Inside Track. We sure do appreciate you sticking around. Join us again real soon when we get together with another great artist and talking about their music. Have a great day.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.